Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog. Now, Mark, as we kind of always do on a Fed week, is we look back on the Fed statement, but even more so, looking broadly at what central banks around the world are doing. It seems like this year has been all about talking the markets to the fact that central banks are going to be going through a general tightening process. But look, even on the back of that Fed statement just earlier this week, it does seem like central banks are going to be going much slower, or well, I think we are all expecting them to go pretty slow. And we've even seen a little bit of pushback from some other central banks. Mark, what have you seen this week in terms of central banks and their policy changes?
Yeah, sure. So we did see three major central banks meet this week: Australia, the UK, and the US. All three of them, as well as comments from the ECB, the European Central Bank, all pushed against sort of the aggressiveness that the market had been pricing in rate hikes. And they all continued to talk about inflation as it would be temporary or transitory. And so I think that this helped unleash a huge bond market rally, not just in the United States, but throughout the world. And in fact, if anything, it looks like the U.S. was maybe a laggard in the bond market rally.
Well, Mark, as far as the bond market rally, it's interesting to see that on the back of this news because we've seen central banks in many nations starting to tighten, as you mentioned, but then we've seen this big rush into bonds. What's going on here? And we're seeing, rates plummet. Look at the 10-year note just in the US taking a nosedive this week. What do you think's behind all this sudden surge in bond buying when they're actually announcing they're taking away the purchasing that they're doing of bonds? It seems almost counterintuitive.
Yeah, sure. So I think a couple of things are happening. One is we did see this week the first crack in oil prices. By that I mean we did see oil prices wobble. We were up to like the $85 a barrel. We ended up dipping below $80 a barrel earlier this week. We sort of are stabilizing back above 80 ahead of the weekend. But it is a broad sideways market in oil that takes off some pressure. But again, I really think that the story is not so much the U.S. bond market rally, but the global rally in which the U.S. has lagged. For example, looking at the 10-year, out of those 10 basis points that the U.S. 10-year declined this week, so the 10-year down 10 basis points in yield, seven of them are coming today after the jobs data. In Europe, Germany is down 17 basis points, almost 18 basis points this week, twice what the U.S. is. Canada, which the central bank did meet, but the yield is down 14 basis points. You see this throughout Europe as well, throughout the periphery of Europe, like Italy and Greece, down 25 to 30 basis points. So I think this is a big move, global bonds, because officials pushed back successfully against this interest rate expectation. So a lot of the long end decline reflects what's happened at the short end. So for example, why would the U.S. 10-year yield fall by 10 basis points roughly? Because the 2-year, which is measuring Fed expectations, which is a closer metric to Fed expectations, is down 10 basis points. So the yield curve just came down 10 basis points, the 2 to the 10, primarily on the Fed giving us a dovish tapering. By including the word transitory to describe inflation, they modified it a little bit by said expected to be transitory. And they kept with a modest pace of tapering, which means that they cannot raise rates until the tapering is over, which right now still looks like the middle of the year. Same thing in Europe. When I say that the German 10-year bond is down about 18 basis points, the 2-year is down about 12 basis points. And again, the ECB pushed against expectations that they would have to raise rates next year. The biggest surprise, though, probably came from the UK. The UK, several Bank of England officials had seemed to be goading the market into pricing in more hikes. And then they didn't deliver. It was a 7-2 vote to maintain rates and a 6-3 vote to continue with the tapering. And so the market was really favoring, partly because of what officials had said, about a 15 basis point rate hike. So when nothing was delivered, interest rates basically collapsed. probably the biggest drop in UK interest rates in a couple of years. And sterling was punished. Sterling fell from, sterling basically went down to test the year's low. It's about a 3 cent move this week.
So, Mark, is this a trend? Is this even just a short-term trend that we need to be aware of, that rates are going to continue to fade after what was about a four-month run strictly higher for rates?
No, here's what I'm thinking. I mean, I think we have to all, like, think about the implications of a sharp bond market rally this week and whether this is a breakout or not. And my guess is that it's not going to be a breakout because next week, and this is what the markets are really good at, anticipating, seeing ahead of time. But this time, I think there's a bit of a head fake. Bonds have rallied very strongly, including today after the jobs data. But next week, we're going to get inflation data in the U.S., PPI, and especially the most market sensitive is the CPI. And the CPI is likely to accelerate, partly just the base effect alone. Last year was about up 0.1, so if that dropped out this year, we replace it with some higher number. It looks like something like 0.4 or 0.5. Bottom line is that at the middle of the week, we're going to get the CPI. It's likely to show inflation, U.S. headline CPI, close to 6%. And I think that will rivet the market, the bond market, back to begin selling back off, seeing yields rise.
Yeah, Mark, I was going to ask you that, because if we're seeing a falling 10-year and a rising CPI number, we're actually getting even more negative on the real rates factor. I wonder at what point the bond market responds. The other thing I know you follow closely is the currencies. So what do you think about the greenback? What about the U.S. dollar? It's at that 94 and some change level. A lot of people were expecting it to possibly break out or break down. What are you seeing as far as the U.S. dollar here?
Yeah, so it looked like, you know, the dollar index itself made a new high for the year today. That is after the jobs data. That means the euro made a new low for the year, but there hasn't really been any follow-through. If anything, I think that with these falling yields, it's taken a little bit of shine off the dollar. So I'm looking at reversal candlestick patterns, whether they are hammers or shooting stars. They basically tell me that at least in the first part of next week, we should be expecting a weaker dollar. Currencies recover a bit. They're closing well today, despite, I mean, you think about what happened, stronger than expected employment data, and the dollar is unable to sustain its gains. So it tells me we're sort of at the end of the boxer's punch, not the beginning of it.
Mark, makes sense of this week then, because we are seeing money go into bonds. Even at the tail end of the week, we are seeing money go into gold. So some of the safer investments. But we're also seeing U.S. equity markets continue to push to all-time highs. And we've had some other analysts on that are saying, look, the U.S. markets right now have gone through a bit of a digestion or consolidation phase, and the next leg looks to be much higher. Why so much more money? Why do you think so much more money is being put into the system?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we have more people working for sure, right? Globally, stronger. I mean, think about what we saw in Q3. The Eurozone economy expanded by 2.2% quarter over quarter. The U.S. expanded by 2% annualized. So I think that we've got a couple of things going on. One is recovery, but I think that as bond yields go down, or as we're told that yields won't rise as fast, or what the market has concluded is that in this interest rate cycle, interest rates will peak well below what officials think is the equilibrium level, like that R star. And I think what that means is that interest rates stay low and people who are savers have no choice but to put money in the stock market. And I think that it might not be a widespread development. I mean, we have to see really the flows. But I do think that this is really the challenge. If interest rates are going to stay low and central banks are pushing it against the aggressiveness the market had priced in, what are people going to do with their savings?
Yeah, Mark, it almost forces savers into the markets, and they've got to be a participant. Just speak real quick to the disconnect we're seeing, though, in the stock markets and this ever run higher, but also counterbalance that with the GDP, the estimates. You know, we were at 6% for the second quarter. I think the third quarter came out around 2%. That's a big drop in GDP growth at the same time that the markets are just racing higher. Is there a big disconnect between the markets and the general economy that's getting even wider here?
I don't know. I think that the Q3 GDP was depressed. It was weaker than people thought it was going to be, but it seems like it's a fluke. It's sort of like, to me, like a B movie, where the first loud sound you hear is not really the boogeyman. Likewise, the weakness that we saw in Q3 GDP is not really going to be sustained. Half of it, for example, was from the auto sector. The auto sector took off a little bit more than 2 percentage points. And I think that the evidence so far for October, so for the beginning of Q4, lends credence to Powell's argument at the press conference following the FOMC meeting that the U.S. economy looks like it's accelerating again. And I think that, remember, low interest rates is also a very important factor that helps when people are thinking about discounting future earnings of corporations. So the longer the low interest rate environment stays, or when, as long as people think it's going to be sustained, that really helps our discount models for future earnings.
So, Mark, when we move through, let's say, the rest of this year, what is going to matter for these markets? We have the Fed starting their taper process. I don't expect to hear anything too drastic or anything changing in the next few months or even early on next year. The markets seem to be doing okay, but again, we're also seeing a little bit of pullback in yields. What's going to be the most important aspect to watch here as we progress into next year?
I think it's not going to be really the markets per se. I worry about COVID. Europe and Central Asia is experiencing a new wave of COVID cases that is already sort of onto the World Health Organization's radar screen. The U.S. cases are still falling, but we're going to have to see what happens. A lot of people, I think, see the between now and the end of the year being a very important potential like window where we have to monitor closely. So for me, the progress on the pandemic, which also involves then the implications for supply chain disruptions still in Asia, maybe coming in Central Europe. The other thing I'd be watching, I think energy is really a key issue here. And the OPEC plus sort of pushed against the U.S. request to boost their output, saying that the real problem is not really coming from oil per se, but from natural gas. And they have very little say or very little influence over natural gas. Starting November 8th or so, Gazprom is supposed to be sending more gas to Europe. The other interesting thing about that date is one of the things that has squeezed the U.S. labor market has been the sort of suspension of worker visas. Our borders, the U.S. borders, again, will be open on worker visas starting around November 7th and November 8th. So I think that the real problem in all this is that we're in the middle of a huge flux that's unprecedented, trying to sort out what's like what's short-term noise. And what's the real signal? And I think we should just, like, I think thinking about how we learn how to drive, they say aim high and you're staring. I think that means not paying so much attention to what happens this week or next week, but looking down the road. I think looking down the road, we still have a couple of quarters of relatively strong growth and relatively elevated prices. So the music is still playing. But by the middle of next year, things are going to look, I think, less robust, less fiscal stimulus, less monetary stimulus. A lot of pent-up demand would have been exhausted.
Yeah, absolutely. Mid-next year, let's see where this pent-up demand goes. And, hey, let's see just how far the Fed is through the tapering process and where those markets are. But, yeah, it might be, again, kind of a half year coming up of smooth sailing, relatively smooth sailing. Hey, any shocks can come to the system, but that does seem to be the way that the data is trending right now. Mark, great chatting with you as always, buddy. We'll post a link to your blog, Mark to Market, and we'll chat again next week. Hope you have a great weekend.
Good. Thanks. Good luck to everybody.